May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 362. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, come, let us seek our God today. Yes, with a cheerful zeal we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn 362.
Thank you. out of God's most holy word for this morning hour you can find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. Isaiah, chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and teach us to pray. O most gracious and merciful God, thou who dwells in the heavens, and thou who art everywhere present, and thou most high and holy God, whose pure and holy eyes do behold us as we gather again this morning hour, in thy presence, O Lord, in this house of prayer, as we do approach, O Lord, even now again thy gracious mercy seat, O Lord God, that thou might remember us in the tenderest of thy compassions, in the bounteous love of thine, that thou, Lord, might look down upon this company of poor sinners and shed abroad thy love into our midst. And Lord, that thou might give us of thy Holy Spirit, that he may dwell within us as the temple of God, that he may instruct us in the ways of salvation, that he might show us our sins, but above all, that he might point us unto the wonders of Emmanuel, that our eyes may behold him, yon lovely man, that all together each one of us, O Lord, our hearts may be touched and melted, and stirred up within us to seek that gospel way, to walk in that gospel way, to be encouraged, O Lord, to come to Jesus Christ, Oh, to kiss the feet of the Son, to worship in humbleness and reverence. Oh, Lord, to have our hearts made tender and our understanding enlightened, that we may know, that we may know Him and the power of His glorious resurrection, that we may have that life breathed into our dead souls, that we might rejoice with His saints, that our souls may be lifted up on high, and that we may leave the doors of this house of prayer, oh, different than we came in. Oh, gracious God, we plead with Thee, do remember us. Oh, pass us not by. Come, O Lord, to dwell with Thy gracious presence in our midst. Come with Thy power. Come with Thy mercy and Thy loving kindness, and we shall be blessed. Lord, we do seek a blessing upon our poor souls, a blessing for every one of the friends who have come this morning. How we do need Thee, O Lord God, to apply the word. For without Thee we gather in vain, we speak in vain, and we hear in vain. But that Thou, Lord, hast a purpose, that in Thy eternal will this may be the acceptable day, and that day of salvation, whereby Zion shall be made glad, whereby the stoutest of heart shall melt, the rebellious sinner might be melted in spirit and come weeping, come seeking. The careless, the carnal, and the indifferent, O Lord, may have their hearts touched, may see their solemn state outside of Thee, may seek that favor with God, may find communion with Jesus Christ, and may be taught to pray. Oh, hear us, O Lord, for there is nothing within us that Thou should look down upon us, for we all are poor sinners, wretched creatures of this earth, carnal, and born under sin. But we pray, Lord, that we may be heavenly minded, and we pray that we might have our conversations in heaven, from whence we look for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, O Father, that Thou will give us faith, that we might believe, and that we might be brought truly, rightly upon that gospel way. Lord, remember Thy people. O favor with rich blessings and crumbs of mercy. Remember Thy children that gather here in this place. Lord, do give them humbleness, and do give them that Christian zeal. Oh, that love unto Thee and the love to one another. Lord, fill them with desires and concerns for the church and for the congregation, and grant that they might be that burdened ones, filled with prayers and wrestling unto Thee. Bless them with Thy presence, enrich them with Thy Spirit, fill them with Thy love and peace. And, O Lord, give a rich increase of Thy kingdom here, the movings and stirrings of Thy Spirit, that boundless souls might be encouraged to come. Lord, remember us in mercy. Do favor the deacons in their work. Remember them, Lord, in their responsible tasks. Let them feel the burden of the souls, and grant that they might prove a blessing unto the people. And so, Lord, remember our beloved friends at home, when they would gather also in the coming time yet. Lord, remember them, strengthen them, and bless them. O Lord, we pray for every one of Thy churches where they gather, all Thy people round this world. Lord, how we all need the same God, the same grace, the same Savior, the same precious blood to wash us and to cleanse us from our sins, that same glorious Advocate in heaven. Oh, give us Jesus. Give us Jesus, Lord, or we perish. Oh, we will faint away. So remember Thy people. Lord, remember Thy servants and bless them with Thy Spirit. Oh, favor them with the unction of the Holy One, and that they may fear no man. They may glorify Thy holy name. They might edify Zion, encourage her, and cheer her, and break down sinners' hearts. Lord, remember them in their poverty and utter dependence upon Thee. O help of those ones sunk low in darkness, bowed low in distress and doubtings and grief. Lord, remember them in their places. Oh, that Thou might encourage them and give them faith to carry on. Fill them with that bread of heaven, and thus, Lord, they shall bless Thee, glorifying Thy precious name and the wonders of salvation. And Lord, we ask for more men, anointed by Thy Spirit, taught those sacred truths, founded, well founded upon that glorious foundation of a crucified Saviour and man's wretched state. And Lord, grant that even now that Thou might have mercy on us, for the harvest is great. Oh, we pray for more labours. Lord, we do set before Thee the needs of our nations and our leaders and those authority over us. And pray, Lord, that Thou might come and Thou might melt us sinful hearts, wretched hearts that know not Thy ways. Lord, we fear Thy just judgment and Thy wrath upon our nations. Oh, that Thou in mercy might remember us and touch the hearts of our leaders and apply Thy truth within them. Lord, remember us, for the need is great. We do pray, Lord, for Thy precious word, that it might be sent throughout this world even now. We pray, Lord, that there may be a purpose yet, and that precious word may be blessed by those that translate, and that it might be sent throughout this world, that poor heathens, poor dark and ignorant sinners might yet be drawn unto Thee and to Thy glorious Son. Lord, remember those that translate, and that Thou would give them that double portion of Thy Spirit and fill them with that knowledge and understanding. Oh, that that word may remain true unto that word that Thou hast spoken long ago. Oh, have mercy on us, Lord. We do need Thy presence and we do need Thy favor. Lord, we would thank Thee again this morning for Thy sparing mercies and for Thy blessed mercies, Thy mercies to ones who are undeserving of it. Oh, we do thank Thee, Lord, for the day of rest, the Lord's day that Thou hast given unto us, that we might gather again this day in the house of prayer. And we do praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, for that throne of grace, and for Him who sits on the mercy seat, our beloved Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our ever-blessed and faithful High Priest, who maketh intercession for us, who taketh our prayers and our worship, and sanctifies it and makes it acceptable through His wondrous blood. O Heavenly Father, we do praise Thee and thank Thee that Thou alone art God, and that our souls are in Thy hands, our lives and circumstances are in Thy hands, and that Thy eye sees us all, and Thou art so gracious and merciful, and that Thou hast sent Thy Son Jesus Christ, O that precious One, Thy glorious eternal Son, Thy eternal delight, who left His glory in the heavens, who came to earth, and that sacred humiliation to take on our flesh and our bones and to suffer on our behalf and save the world from their sins. O gracious God, we bow before Thee and praise Thee for the wonders of salvation and that blood that cleanseth from all sin, that blood that seeped from the Savior's body. O that blessed Savior, His conquering death, breaking the bands of death and hell and destroying Satan, and rising in that resurrection power that we may have life, and ascending into heaven forever and ever to sit at Thy right hand, our glorious King, High Priest, and Prophet. Oh, we do praise Thee, O Father, for the gift of Thy Spirit, that the ignorant and the foolish might know that way, and that we might be taught the truths of Jesus. O Lord, we return now unto Thy word and beg Thee, O remember us, Lord, as we would attempt to preach Thy word. O grant us Thy Spirit, both in preaching and hearing, utterly dependent upon Thee for everything. And Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, O wash our worship this morning in Thy precious blood. O hear us and answer us in Thy precious name. Amen.
Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, My God. Trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. Hymn 1038.
If you only need the Lord's help again for this morning hour, we draw your prayerful attention to Isaiah chapter 50 in the fourth verse. Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. beloved friends, we would speak again this morning hour of the wonders, the beauty, the sacredness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful and sacred communion between the Heavenly Father and His precious eternal delight that is His Son Jesus Christ. In that wonderful union between the Father and Son in the instruction of the Church, as it wonderfully testifies how the Father has given the instruction, the words, and the works unto His Son to perform on behalf of Zion, who is described in our text words this morning as a weary one, and how the Lord has come in that particular purpose to instruct her, and to comfort her, and to encourage her. Oh, what a sacred thing it is, beloved friends, when the Lord touches our hearts and makes us a weary traveler, when the Lord makes us a weary people, weary of self and weary of sin, and weary of all the things in this earth, that our eyes may be turned heavenward, and that we might receive some sacred and rich instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ in our present circumstances. We would begin, beloved friends, in the wondrous and sacred truths of the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, and that He has chosen a people from the never-begun eternity, and that it is His will that a people shall be saved. It is His will that a people shall be drawn out of darkness into His marvelous light, and it is His will that His people shall submit unto His commandments. A wondrous and sacred truth when we begin to understand, beloved friends, who we truly are, that our souls are in His hands, our lives are in His hands, our circumstances are in His hands, that He is ever faithful and cannot lie, that He is that immutable or unchangeable God in all His ways. And how we will find a sacred comfort in this, as the Lord draws us out of a state of ignorance and darkness to be instructed out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this particular chapter, beloved friends, we have again the testimony, the reminder of whom God is, as He sets forth through the prophet Isaiah the truths concerning His power, that His arm is not shortened and it cannot save, that His power has not been diminished, and that He reminds the people again of the wonders of His power and mercy displayed in times past, that there may be that reflection of our God. How beneficial it is, beloved friends, if we would spend our time considering our God, being instructed out of the Word of God, of the history of the nation of Israel, and of the profound works of God Himself, as He performs His will, as He proves Himself to be true, the real God. As He says, He stretched forth the heavens, as He created the heavens and the earth. Oh, the wondrous wisdom of God and the complexity of this earth in which we live. Oh, the truth of Almighty God witnessed even today in the wind, in the storm that we see, that he made the laws of nature and the forces of wind. How profound are His ways past finding out. Truly, beloved friends, who can search Him out or know this God? And I believe in my heart, beloved friends, that this may become a sacred truth when we become a weary people, When we find that there is no strength within us to sustain the forces of the enemy, all the wind, the storms of life, that we need to find a resting place, a hiding place, a refuge for our weary souls. That God has provided a place. That God has that knowledge of his people, that sacred and wondrous word in Timothy, I believe it is, where it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth their place. He knows their station. He knows their circumstances. He knows their hearts. He knows their doubts. He knows their fears. He knows their tremblings, for he knows all things. That's a sacred truth. A sacred truth, beloved friends, when we consider who the Lord's children are in those seasons, in those times of weakness, in his times of doubtings and dread, the times of fear, the times of the spiritual turmoil of the soul, and that the soul cannot sustain itself. That there is that precious word in the Word of God, that God hath sent his Son into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That worthy and acceptable saying, oh, that blessed truth, that this Lord Jehovah had to look down from heaven upon earth, and that solemn truth is made known unto us in Romans 3. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after good. There is none that knoweth. Oh, beloved friends, what a solemn truth to know in our hearts, that we are ignorant, that we do not understand, that we are pupils in the school of grace and we know nothing, that we have received instruction after instruction after instruction, and our heart is as dead as always, as dead as before. Oh, who will teach me, shall be the cry of such a soul. Who can teach me the ways of truth? Who will enlighten my understanding? Who will enable mine eyes to see the truths of the Word of God? Why, the Lord God can. And the Lord God Almighty shall, for he has sent his Son. The Lord God hath given me, that is Jesus Christ, he hath given me the tongue of the learned. I think of that sacred word in Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and lead thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. What a wondrous truth, beloved friends, to a people who cannot see. To a people who cannot understand of their own, that God, this Almighty God, with whom there is nothing too hard, and no mind that he cannot enter into, no foolishness that he cannot overcome, no illiteracy that he cannot enable to read. What a sacred truth, beloved friends, that God has my times in his hand, and that God is able to teach me when I cannot teach myself. Oh, how foolish a pupil I have been. How ignorant I am in the ways of heaven. Do we feel, beloved friends, this solemn truth in our souls? Do we feel the realities of this in our heart? Have we ever come, beloved friends, to a closed book, the closed Word of God? Have we come to that place with the Ethiopian eunuch? How can I understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I accept someone should teach me? Of whom speaketh this man? Of himself or of another? Have we trembled, beloved friends, of our stupidity, the gross darkness of our minds? We can understand the things of this world. There's no problem. We can excel in the things of this world, and we can bury our heads, beloved friends, in the worldly books and gain the knowledge of this world. But who amongst us, beloved friends, has the ability to understand the things of heaven and the things of Jesus and the value of his precious blood and the wonders of salvation and the glories of heaven and the peace that passes all understanding? Who understands these things, beloved friends, amongst us? Naturally, I'm saying, born in that natural capacity to think and to reason. Who does not need this teacher? And we can safely say, friends, every single one of us needs this precious gift from heaven. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift, His glorious Son. I think of that word in Deuteronomy 18. And there, beloved friends, it speaks again of the promise of Jesus Christ and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in coming down to earth in those sacred offices of prophet and priest and king. This afternoon or this morning, in some sense, we would limit it, and yet not exclusively, to the office of a prophet. That teaching capacity of the Son of God to instruct us and to lead us in the way that we ought to go. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. You see, beloved friends, here, I think of that word again spoken of Moses, and when he said, I did exceedingly fear and tremble in the presence of this Most High God, for he ascended down from heaven upon Mount Sinai, and the mountain shook with the trembling thereof, and the fire and the lightnings and the smoke, and so that none of the people could approach, lest they be thrust through the dark or pierced through, to come in the holy presence of this holy God. They feared exceedingly of the power of this God. And then the cry was that another may speak on his behalf. And that is the purpose of Jesus Christ, to speak unto us and to teach us. And then it says, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And my memory is brought, or my thoughts, we would say, were brought back to John 17. All the words that thou hast given unto me, O Father, I have spoken unto them, and all that thou hast given unto me, I have lost none of them. The union between the Father and the Son in the teaching of the foolish and ignorant in the ways of salvation. The great prophet. I will raise up a prophet like unto thy brethren. Again, that sweet testimony of the humanity, the sacred humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we would speak this morning, beloved friends, of a weary people, that we might speak again of a Savior who understands. That in our afflictions and in our weaknesses, that we might go to a weak Savior. And I say that respectfully or reverently. I say it in the, my mind is drawn to John 4, that the weary Savior sat on a well. The Savior knew our weariness, and the Savior knows our loneliness, and the Savior knows our fears, for he was tried and tempted like as we were, yet without sin. That he might teach, that he might succor them that are thus tempted, and that he might instruct those that know weakness and know poverty and know the depravity of the heart. Oh, the sacredness of the appearance of Jesus, instructing, encouraging, whether he uses his precious word or whether he uses a precious hymn or whether he uses the circumstances of providence or of nature. He will instruct his people, his weary ones. As we read this morning in the precious word of God. We are reminded, friends, again in this chapter, and we cannot ever leave the topic or the truth of sin. We are continually reminded. In that hymn, it's spoken so clearly here too of the weary soul and of the grieving and the sin-burdened soul. but weary because of our sins, weary what it has performed within us, of the darkness it has brought within us, of the groaning within us, of the sorrow within us, of the seeming desertion of God because of it. A weary soul. An exceeding mourning soul on account again of sin. That's what God is saying in this chapter again. Unto this people, unto Israel, and unto the Lord's people at large. He's questioning the people. He's searching the people. As if to say, have I left you? Have I deserted you? Where is the proof of the divorcement of your mother? Where is the written token that I have actually abandoned you? To which of my creditors have I sold you for your sins? None. It is none of these. I have not separated myself. It is your sins. Your sins. For your sins you have sold yourself. It is your sins that have caused these things to come upon you and to come to pass to you. God, beloved friends, will search his people. Are we being searched? I do not say the Lord's people are all their days weary. This word speaks of occasions, of seasons, that he may speak a word in season to him that is weary. But when the Lord comes, beloved friends, and searches you or me, by whatever way he may be pleased, when he opens up the understanding and shows you and I our utter wretched case, our unworthiness, and I feel in my own life, as the Lord has drawn me into the ministry and we've preached text after text, so often the texts are applied to myself. As if we may preach to myself and you may hear the knowledge of why a soul is so weary and why it grieves and groans in its circumstances. It's because of sin. It's because of the painful awareness of the existence of sin. The sin against this God. The sin against this good God. The unthankfulness against this God, the forgetfulness of him, the deliberate sinning against him, the rebellious spirit within. And almost every time we may think of another, but the thoughts are directed within the own soul. Oh, soul, you are weary too. And the cause of weariness is sin. Grieve, beloved friends. And I will tell you this. If you know, dear friends, the weight of sin, the sin burden, the sin awareness, the reality of its existence in us, its plague, it's a plague, and we groan under it, it will weary you. It will take, dear friends, the sleep from you. It will, in the midst of sleep, you will find your mind turning and turning and thinking of these things. We meditate on them. We do. And it brings us low. What has this good God done to you? There comes a questioning and searching. Is not this God only good? Is not this a God of love? A God of tenderness and compassion? A God of forbearance? Who is this God? A wondrous God, beloved friends. And how ungrateful we are so many times to him. And when God begins to search within us, by his precious Holy Spirit, what weariness it will bring to the soul. In whatever way the Lord may use, beloved friends, I believe every child of God knows that humbling experience of a weary heart. No strength. No ability to carry on. And no good in self. Here we have these sacred, precious truths. Lord God Almighty hath given unto his Son Jesus Christ the tongue of the learned, that he might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. The blood, the access to peace and to encouragement, beloved friends. The dear dying Savior, who has loved his people from the never begun eternity to the never ending eternity. Oh, he will never leave them to sink away in this grave and in this heavy burden. He will never. He came down to earth, beloved friends, to be the cheering Savior and to speak words of encouragement unto his people that are thus bowed down. That's his promise. His promise to them who know what it is that they cannot scarce open their eyes. They dare scarce look at another person in the eye. And their tongue is silenced when others speak of the glories of Emmanuel. How weary they are in their station. All the circumstances in which the Lord has been pleased to plunge them has brought them, dear friends, that they cannot find any more pleasure in life. Any more pleasure in life. That's how weary the soul becomes. That's how strengthless it becomes, beloved friends. And they know the tears of contrition. They do. They weep. They're exceeding sorrowful in that state. And I think, actually, my mind goes back to even last year at this very place. What means this sadness, O my soul, and why art thou cast down? That the soul might have that soliloquy or that speech within itself. What is the reason of all this sadness? Hope thou in God. That solemn hope in the loving kindness of God. In the promises of God. That this soul shall yet praise the Lord. Shall yet thank the Lord for the visits of Jesus. For the word in season. For the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ on their behalf. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. What is the reason of the fear as the Lord approaches to such a soul? As the Lord begins to comfort such a soul in that great distress. Have not I appeared to thee before? Have I ever failed you? Have I ever left you? Have not I shown you the wonders of the cross? My sacred love, my tender compassion, and the soul is brought into meditation or reflection of those past visits. And the wondrous love of the dear Savior. Was it for any good that you did? Was it for any good of you that I came? It was in my love, it was in my favor to your soul. In those sweet blessings, because I have loved you. And so the soul might be raised up in a little hope of the wonders of the visits of the Savior. In the confirmation of that love of Christ to the soul. He gives a word in season to them that are weary. Oh friends, do we know a weariness? A weeping spirit. There's another word. And it is a sacred comfort unto one that feels it. That knows it. The sacrifice is acceptable unto God. What are they? A broken and a contrite heart. A sad countenance. A broken down spirit on account of its own wretchedness. That's as if the learned one, the precious instructor, the great prophet comes. And says, oh my soul, there is a reason for this. And there is a necessity for this. It is that the soul might be directed unto the lovely Savior. It is in a broken heart, in a sad, weeping state, that the soul might look for comfort from higher things, the things of heaven, and him who dwells in heaven. In that broken state, in that sorrowing state, we have, beloved friends, no hope upon earth, no delight upon this earth, and the truths and realities of a coming eternity have the highest value and greatest of importance. As that hymn did say, we long to read our election in heaven and to say, my God. That is the grief and the sorrow. Is my religion real? If my sins are so real and they produce such an anxiety in my soul and such a grief, am I a true lover of God and a worshiper of God? And the grief bows the souls down so low. Is my election real? Am I a child of God? And beloved friends, I truly believe at the Lord's appointed time, the tongue of the learned shall show the sacred adoption of sons and daughters. He shall show the love of God, and we shall be able to say with the Apostle John, what manner of love or behold what manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. The tongue of the learned, as the Lord Jesus Christ through his word, whether it may be, beloved friends, of a word of the Savior, the word of the holy, of the word itself, that it might come with a sacred unction and power into the soul, and we might know him who cheers our desponding heart and comes. Oh, it is as if he would come with the handkerchief itself to wipe the tear from the eye and say, oh, my soul, have not I loved thee? Why art thou grieving? What means all this sadness and distress? Why the doubtings? Can I ever fail? Have I ever failed? Shall I ever fail? And so the Lord, the tongue of the learned, comes at that season of the greatest of distress, and he may use a friend. Oh, he may use whatever means it is to instruct the soul, to cheer the soul, and encourage the soul in the way of salvation. I am thy comfort. I am thy hope. I am the cheering rays of happiness and delight. And I think of that word. Lovest thou me? Oh, as if the learned one would come and come to his pupil, who is in the greatest of sadness and spiritual distress, and ask that question, do you really love me? Have you, friends, been asked that? In sadness and sorrow? Oh, sinner, do you really love me in this sadness? Am I the object of your hope? Am I the cry in the middle of the night? Am I the object of your love? What can you say, friends? Have you ever been so sorrowful and grieving and say, Lord, yes, thou art the chief object of my love? As sinful as I might be, as a sorrowing and broken my heart may be, Jesus is my love. I seek no other instruction. I long for no other lesson than another lesson of my Lord, that I might eat the crumbs of mercy from my master's table, and that I might know why it is that I am saved. I am saved from my sins, and I am comforted through the presence of my beloved teacher, the great prophet who was sent down from heaven by his heavenly Father to make a people understand. To enlighten, beloved friends, the natural understanding, to make it know and to make it spiritual, and to understand the words of Jesus Christ as a true Christian does. Well, beloved friends, can we come in with this season, with these experiences of weariness? And when I say these seasons or experiences of weariness, I mean, beloved friends, because we're all weary. And we all have seasons of weakness. But I'm speaking this morning, beloved friends, of the weariness that has drawn us to the arms of Emmanuel. I'm speaking of the sorrowing soul that longs for no other teaching than the teaching of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking, beloved friends, of the words of the disciples who said, now I understand, now thou speakest plainly. I'm talking, beloved friends, where the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared and comforted the soul and cheered it. Where it is as if the soul is lifted up off the dust of the dunghill for a moment, taken away from that exceeding sorrowful place to the smiles, to the songs of rejoicing. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. He hath heard the voice of his poor handmaiden. Oh, with Hannah, He had heard the bitterness of my cry and instructed me, am I not better than 10 sons? This is the heavenly Elkanah. I am better than 10 sons. Weep not, my daughter, for my presence and my favors are greater than anything this earth can ever give. And if that blessed one should come and instruct us in these ways, oh, it is then that we soar with the bird into the heavens. We soar with the eagle, with the wings of an eagle. And it is then we rejoice in what Christ is to us. He lifts us out of the bitterness of our place and the bitterness of our circumstances to rejoice that there is a Savior, to rejoice that there is forgiveness of sins, and to rejoice that there is a song of praise on the lips. How the Lord can change the season. When the word of the learned comes into the soul, and when we receive instruction, dear friends, from heaven, or from that glorious instructor, Jesus Christ. Oh, how it surpasses the instruction of all the instructors on this earth. And it moves within the heart, and it works profound wonders. It will not leave us, dear friends, in that station alone. We're raised up to a living hope. We're brought away from that sorrow. And we're for a moment, oh, for a precious moment, we might believe that the Lord truly is the best and the most blessed thing I could ever have in my life. And though he may continually bring me into more afflictions and more sorrows and more griefs, we will learn he is there to hold our hand. He is never far from us and never shall be far from us. For we are his delight, his care, and his concern. And when he sees us groaning and when he sees us tried and troubled, it is then that he gives that hidden smile. This one that weeps shall be comforted. That's the work of the great prophet. That's the wonder when God has sent his son Jesus Christ. It is, beloved friends, to give a word in season to those that are weary. Well, dear friends, if you have never grieved on account of your sins, you will never praise the prophet. You will never prize the prophet for the wonders of his strength and of his comfort to those that are weary. May the Lord, if it's for the first time we're still in unregeneracy, if we've never heard that instruction from heaven, if we've never needed a higher instruction to enlighten our understanding, may this morning be the time. May the Lord exercise you, dear friends, unconverted friends in our midst, may the Lord exercise your souls in the need that heaven's light alone can lighten our dark hearts. It's heaven's light alone. He says, I am the light of the world. And through his Spirit, the illumination of the Spirit, we shall understand. If you, beloved friends, have never received this gift, we are ignorant to the truths and beauties of the resting place of Christ, the ark, the spiritual ark. And we shall perish like all the unbelieving world in the time of Noah if God doesn't shut you and I in the ark of Jesus Christ, where the winds cannot assail and the waters shall not destroy. Beloved friends, we find for our weary soul a resting place in the wounded side of Jesus Christ, a slain Lamb of God. There's my rest. There's my peace. There is my love and there is my joy and there is my wrestling at the throne of grace. Oh, that I might see the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary again for me. That the blood might be applied to my soul. It is there, beloved friends, that my tears are wiped away. And there I rejoice in Christ my Savior. It is there, beloved friends, that I shall find an escape from all my enemies. Him who is a refuge. Him who is declared as that precious one whose wings are the wings of shelter and safety, that his children might hide under and find comfort and peace. Each of the ways in which the Lord has revealed himself become a comfort and become a delight unto those who are instructed of the beauty of them. Who sees the beauty of the spreading wings of the precious Jesus in his love and care for his little children and his weak and soaring ones? Well, I'll tell you who, beloved friends, those who have found safety in him, those who have felt the comfort and love of him to them as they found refuge in him, those who have fled with haste and have no other hope and no other means of joy and comfort in the heart but the bleeding wounds of the beloved Savior and the sacred words of the glorious Comforter. Let me ask you this question, beloved friends, in a very personal way. What do the words of Isaiah 9:6 mean to you? The names of Jesus. For unto us a son is given, and unto us a child is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Tell me, beloved friends, how precious is that prophecy of Jesus to us? The wonders of the visits of Jesus. Oh, my Savior has come. My Savior has comforted my soul. My Savior has spoke cheering words to my desponding spirit. Oh, the counsel of Christ Jesus, no counselor upon earth can ever come close to the counsel of Jesus Christ. Do you, beloved friends, do you love the Savior for these things? Are we, beloved friends, overcome? Overcome by the visits of the Savior and the comfort received in the heart. I said it Friday, and I probably will say it every single sermon. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't imagination. This isn't notion. This is reality. This is heart moved within itself. This is a heart lost in wonder. Why that the Lord God should send his Son? Why that Jesus Christ should ever undertake to take such a wretched soul into his arms, into his loving embrace? Why should he waste his time with such a chief rebel who's forever and ever failing? And yet he does. And yet he comes again. And yet he encourages again. And yet he soothes again and binds up the wounds. And the soul is lost in wonder, why me? Oh, the blessings of salvation. And now, dear friends, as we come to an end, may it be an encouragement to each one of us. For the Lord saves chief sinners, and the Lord comforts the most downcast and the most sorrowing of sinners. And the Lord is able to instruct the blindest and most ignorant and foolish. May it be an encouragement again to this morning hour, that we might come again to the throne of grace, that we might cry, that we might be like the disciples. You see, dear friends, we find such a rich instruction and lesson in the words of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And as they would teach us to pray rightly, all they heard out of the mouth of this Jesus, the words of grace and truth. In 1 John 1, we read of that written word, the him who was in the beginning, whose words we have heard, who we have seen with our eyes and we have looked upon and our hands have handled. All these they had heard of his words. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. For out of his mouth came grace and truth. Out of his mouth, never man spake like this man, said the enemies of his. And they said, Lord, teach us, for there is none that teaches like thee. Lord, instruct us in the ways of salvation, for none can teach like thee. And friends, if the Lord should show us our ignorance and open up the depth of our fall and the ruin of our understanding, to see, go back to paradise. And you see Adam and Eve banished out of the Garden of Eden. They have lost that state of holiness, of righteousness, of knowledge of God. And there they are banished into the world, and we are their offspring, friends. We have the same lack of understanding. We have a darkened mind, and all we can think of is carnal things. Lord, that I might understand. Lord, that I might be instructed by Thee. May the Lord grant you and I, beloved friends, these continual petitions, that the gracious truth of Christ may be known within us, and the wonders of why Jesus came to earth might be known in your heart and mine. We must know. You and I, beloved friends, we cannot plead ignorance. I think it's in Romans 11. It comes from Jeremiah 31, verses 31, 32, 33. It speaks there. It says this. It says, all my people shall know me. All my people. They shall not be ignorant of me, of my goodness, of my compassion, of the lifting up of my soul, of their souls, of my comforting, cheering words, of the embraces of my arm, of my affectuous love. They shall all know me. And it doesn't say, friends, the old ones, young children. It doesn't say only the old ones. It says from the youngest to the oldest, they shall all know me. All of them. And from the least to the greatest. So the young one can never say that they can plead youth. And the ignorant can never plead that they could not understand. And the least of them cannot plead, I was not worthy. For the Lord says, they shall all know me. And I will instruct them all. And beloved friends, if you go to the Word of God, you will find that the Lord takes the base and the vile and the unworthy. He takes the ignorant and the unlearned that He might glorify Himself. He takes the most rebellious of sinners and the most obstinate and teaches them who they are, that they might come as poor lost sinners and to the feet of Jesus to cry for mercy, that God will be glorified in all these things and all these people. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on you and I, beloved friends, even now. And we say it's not just in the beginning. We need to be instructed to the day, to the very day of our death. You ask a child of God who knows the truth of the heart. They are the most ignorant of pupils. And they need to learn over and over what they learned in the beginning. Oh, we can never ever say, now I know it all. Now we see but through a glass darkly. Oh, we need this same Jesus and the tongue of the learned one and the gift from heaven to daily instruct us. Lord, teach me. May the Lord teach us all the wonders of that dying Savior to lost, rebellious man. And then, beloved friends, we shall know what it is to praise God for the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to thank Him who is the fullness of the Godhead, that He is the Spirit without measure and able to teach all the sacred truths of salvation. May He teach us now, beloved friends, before it is too late. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £765, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Decker will address the Sunday School this afternoon, and he will address the prayer meeting tomorrow evening and preach for us on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day, when also he hopes to address the Sunday School, and he will address the young people on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 986. O poor, distressed, thirsty soul, the fountain is just by, whose waters run both full and free. Come, drink, and never die. Hymn 986.
And now, dear Lord, oh, that thou might be pleased to forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our gathering together this morning. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.